Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Welcome back to Theory of Pets. My name is Samantha. For those of you who are new to the podcast, if you are, be sure to jump on our website, theoryofpets.com, and check out some of my previous episodes. We are closing in on 100 episodes. I have discussed lots of different topics in the pet industry. Today, I'm talking about something that I have never done a podcast episode on before, and that is traveling with your pet. I got tons of questions from people wondering about car travel, plane travel, taking their pet with them locally to maybe restaurants or different establishments that are pet friendly. So I reached out to a new friend of mine who writes a blog called Paws Across Britain. And her name is Kelly. And Kelly takes her little dog Elsa, who is a Lhasa Apso, with her all around when she travels. They have stayed in different places. They have gone to many different restaurants, different festivals and activities. So you can see her blog. There is a link to that below this podcast. It's pawsacrossbritain.co.uk, and you can find all kinds of information there about Kelly and Elsa and all of their different places that they've been, tips and tricks that she shares in her different posts. And today I asked her to come on and just talk to us, share some tips about traveling with your pets. She has some great information on some of the supplies that she brings with her, some ideas so that you can understand whether your dog is going to be a good travel companion or not. Not every dog is a good travel companion. You have to keep that in mind. But she will tell you all of that and more in this week's episode. So Kelly, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on here today to speak with us. But just to start out, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started with your blog and traveling with Elsa?
Basically, my background's kind of the usual dog story. I've always loved dogs growing up. But when I grew up, I actually grew up in the Middle East. So it was never the right sort of climate and never the right kind of lifestyle to have a dog. So eventually, you know, fast forward a few years, I settled in the UK with my husband now, and we decided like, yeah, let's do it. You know, we both still really want a dog. So we basically, we got Elsa. And then we started doing all these things, you know, like people kind of said to us at first, you know, oh, your life's not going to be the same. You're not going to be able to do the same things that you used to do. Because, you know, we kind of liked our odd weekend away and, you know, we liked traveling around a little bit and, you know, going out and eating, you know, places out and, you know, just, you know, kind of average stuff that we like to do, like our lifestyle. From there we started to kind of look for dog friendly things, and it was like a whole world opened up to us. There was so many places to take dogs, and you know, we are quite fortunate because this country is really dog friendly. I think there's other places that are even more dog friendly from what I've heard, like in Europe, but here, I mean, everyone's got quite a good attitude. It is a nation of dog lovers at the end of the day, so you know, we've found most places are quite receptive to you know, people bringing dogs with them. We ended up kind of going a few places that we thought, wow, this is actually really nice. And but when you go to places where you don't have to compromise on, you know, the kind of quality of service, or you know, the you know, just the atmosphere, or you know, I think the impression I had at first was that if we were staying in a hotel, we'd be like shoved away in the dungeon room or something. But it's not the case at all. And it wasn't just that. We also started going to events and like charity events with Elsa. And we went to, one of the things that we did was we went to a, it was like a Halloween dog walk. And I'd always wanted to do that with a dog. You know, we always see, you know, the Tompkins Square in New York,
yeah,
you know, in the I'd always wanted to do something like that. So the first Halloween that we had Elsa, I had a look around to see if there was any, you know, events like that here. And there was one in Liverpool in aid of a charity for a it was actually for like a human hospice charity. And we decided to go along, and it was all in aid of charity. So, you know, you pay kind of like an entrance fee and you could go dressed up. So we dressed up in the sort of the Day of the Dead style. And we took some really nice pictures, and there were so many people there with the dogs all dressed up. There was a little dog that was dressed as like a fire engine. It was so cute. So it was really nice to see, you know, everybody come out to kind of support that kind of event. And I had all these sort of pictures. I've kind of picked up with the photography side as well. We bought a DSLR camera just before we got Elsa as well. So, you know, we started taking nice pictures. We were going to these places that were quite nice. People were asking us, oh, you know, where have you been? Where have you found that's dog friendly? And also, we've got quite a lot of family abroad as well. And I was like telling my mum about, you know, places that we've been to. And it got to the point where I was sending pictures here, there, everywhere. And I kind of just, it kind of hit me one day. I was sat there thinking, you know, I'd really like to kind of tell more people about these places because they're so good. And I want to share things with family and friends as well. And that's where it all began. I just, you know, I got to the point where I was like, a blog is the perfect way to kind of move this forward and just share everything with people. So that's why I started doing it initially. And then it's kind of just all grown from there, really.
It's funny how that works. You know, sometimes when you find a niche like that, that hasn't been filled, it's just once you start it, it sort of snowballs from there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's, you know, we're here in the U.S. and it is gaining in popularity. I wouldn't say, you know, it's an extremely dog friendly country, but we have family in Scotland and we've been around the UK, and it definitely seems to be more so. You guys are a little advanced in that side, but it's becoming more popular here. We're seeing some restaurants and things like that, hotels that are becoming pet friendly. So I'm hoping that the trend keeps going here as well.
Definitely. Well, actually, interesting. Last year, we met with a lady called Belinda Jones. In fact, coincidentally, this is just a complete coincidence. I've got her book right here. So she wrote this book called Bodhi on the Road, and she basically traveled around the west coast of America with her rescued dog. And it's such a lovely story. And she's actually British, so about 18 months ago, I think it was, she messaged me and because she found my blog somehow. I don't know how she came across it, but she basically messaged me to say hello. And, you know, she liked what I was doing and, you know, told me a bit about herself and what she'd done. And I ended up reading the book and it was amazing. And she does go to all these places that are not just dog friendly, but have like a story behind them. So she was actually like quite an inspiration to me to adopt my writing style a little bit as well. I started making it a bit more personal, a bit more kind of, you know, telling a story a little bit more and a bit more kind of, you know, individual to ourselves as to how we found things. So yeah, she was quite a big inspiration, and we got to meet her and Bodhi. They live down, you know, on the south coast in England now. And it was quite funny because I'd really thought that Elsa and Bodhi would get on really well from reading about him and his personality. And when they met, the day that we met, we'd actually been away for a week. And we were kind of seeing them on our way home, and Elsa was not in a good mood.
Oh, no.
I think she was just tired and hungry, and she just didn't want to be there. She was quite mean, but they did have a bit of time together where they got on all right. We had a walk along the beach and things. But yeah, it's nice because we've been able to sort of connect with and, you know, meet people along the way, like Belinda and Bodhi, and it's such a nice community. And I think everybody just, you know, wants to share that really, and their love for their dogs and taking them with them everywhere. So yeah, it's really nice.
I mean, I do more product reviews and just like how to information for pet owners, but my dogs are always featured in my product reviews and in my videos and things. And that's probably at least 60% of the questions and emails that I get are about the girls. They want to know about the dogs and, you know, what they liked about certain things. And it is, I think, the community of pet owners. You know, we all have that in common. And even though we're so different in every other aspect, it's like we come together for our pets. And, you know, if you're a dog lover and you can just, you can automatically relate to another dog lover. So it is kind of unique and it's, it is very cool. I have met some of the most amazing people in my life through my work with pets and my work with dogs. It is really amazing.
Definitely. I mean, even in Belinda's book, she does talk about, you know, going out and just, you know, you automatically just start talking to people as if you know them. And you wouldn't dream of doing that if you didn't have a dog with you. But we found the exact same thing. Like, automatically, you can be walking out in the middle of nowhere, come across a complete stranger with a dog. And, you know, just suddenly you have something in common. And you there's just like this level of understanding, you know, it is really lovely.
It is different if you're not a pet owner, or you've never been, you know, out and about with your pet, you don't understand it. But it is something very unique and really neat. It's just really neat. We love it. So talking about traveling, obviously you do a lot of traveling with your dogs. Do you notice that there are breeds that travel a little better or a little bit easier to accommodate while you're traveling?
Yeah, I think that really comes down to the individual dogs. I mean, you know, I think any dog has the potential to be a good travel companion, but I think logistically, if you have a smaller dog, it's always going to be easier because, there are definitely places that you can take big dogs, and we've stayed in places where, you know, the rooms have been massive and, you know, they could definitely accommodate the bigger dogs. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, there is sort of an unspoken kind of feeling that, you know, having your dogs with you is more of a privilege than a right. And I think, you know, as someone who travels with the dog, you kind of have this sense of responsibility to be a, you know, a good example. Mm-hmm. As well, you know, to kind of show a good example. So I think, you know, breed wise, any dog really, you know, as long as the individual dog is happy and comfortable and, you know, is well socialized as well. You know, I mean, we got Elsa used to being in the car, you know, as quickly as we could. And, you know, as long as the dog is happy to travel, you know, and they're well behaved in public spaces, I think that's quite important as well. Because, you know, if you're going into a restaurant and the dog is barking constantly, you know, obviously, you know, you're not going to be, you know, looked upon very, very well by the other guests. So I think, yeah, the size of the dog is probably the bigger thing. I mean, Elsa's kind of at that size where she's just a little bit too big to carry, so she's not like a handbag dog. But we can pick her up and get through places if we need to. You know, we've been down to London with her, and you know, there is the tube system there, which we avoided as much as we could. But I know that people with large dogs find it impossible, you know, to kind of navigate the tube. So they have to find alternative routes to get around. And, you know, so there's things like that. I think, like, logistically, it's just making sure to, you know, plan out the routes and, you know, make sure that, you know, if you're going into a restaurant, there's going to be enough space for your dog as well. Sometimes dogs don't sit well near other dogs and, you know, things like that. So I think it's more about, you know, just thinking about your own dog and what they are comfortable with and, you know, where you can physically take them as well. I think that's quite important. So we've seen all sorts of dogs while we've been traveling. So yeah, I think any breed, as long as they're comfortable and, you know, logistically you can manage it.
And I think you touched on a really important point, you know, that socialization. When, you know, we live out in the country, so we typically travel in our own vehicle with our pets most of the time. But if you live in the city, if you're going to be, you know, on an underground subway or on a train or, you know, taking the bus. We have seen people on the public bus here with their dogs. So, you know, it's getting used to what you're doing. I mean, you guys take a lot of like longer trips, you know, so it would be getting used to staying in a hotel or an inn somewhere that isn't home and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think thinking about what you're going to be, the type of traveling you'll be doing, and getting your dog used to that, because it can be so different. Some people, we actually have friends of ours who are very outdoorsy, and in the summertime they travel with their animals a lot, but they camp everywhere they go. So it's, you know, it's camping is different than staying in a hotel, you know, when you're out in the middle of the woods with those types of sounds and things. So socialization is certainly a really big aspect of that. Have you ever run into any behavior problems while you've been out and about?
Well, to be honest, yeah. You know, it all depends on the environment. I'll give you an example. You know, whenever we go in somewhere, we always do our best to make sure that Elsa's comfortable and, you know, as quiet as possible. And, you know, that she's kind of content to just sit there and be happy while we're eating or whatever. And one day we went into a restaurant and it was quite a big place, quite empty at the time, lots of, you know, empty tables scattered around. And just our luck, a couple came in with a small child, and they sat down right next to us. And although Elsa was absolutely fine up until that point, the little girl had a small toy with her, which was a little moving, barking dog. On the ground, just as the waiter came over. And of course, you know, a dog is going to react to that. So, you know, in situations like that, it becomes quite difficult to, you know, try and maintain that balance of your dog being calm and quiet. You know, sometimes things do bubble over a little bit, and, you know, she's very vocal as well, Elsa is. So if she's not happy, she will moan, and, you know, she will make a little bit of a grumble and things, but she usually settles down once she knows that, you know, we're sat here for a while, and, you know, we'll try and take something to keep her occupied, like a chew or a little toy or something, you know, some food if we've been out for a long time, you know, just to settle her and things. But yeah, I mean, you know, Elsa's, you know, she's a living, breathing creature. All dogs are. And I think, you know, when you visit places with dogs, I think that, and if you're going somewhere, even if you don't have a dog, you do have to kind of expect and understand that they make sounds, you know, just like a human would or a child would, or, you know, so I think there has to be a little bit of give and take as well. You know, if Elsa was, you know, disturbing other people or whatever, we would probably take her out, you know, outside for a little wander around just to calm her down and things. But, you know, she's a very independent sort of, you know, she's definitely got her own character and personality. So I think, you know, it's just knowing your own pet and how they're going to react in certain situations and trying to preempt it a little bit is the best way to kind of handle things like that.
Yeah. So speaking of that, if there's somebody listening that they're thinking, oh, geez, I really like to start taking my pet with me places, what are some of the characteristics that you think, you know, you would look for in a dog that might be a good companion to travel around with?
Yeah, I think, again, it just comes down to the individual dog, whether they are comfortable with the actual, you know, travel itself, how they react in public places. I mean, there are various different places that you could end up going to. Some are quieter, some are louder. You know, sometimes Elsa's actually much better when we go somewhere where there's loud music playing. It helps her settle down a little bit more. You know, often we'll look under the table, you know, if we're in a restaurant or something, and she'll be fast asleep, you know. But sometimes when it's too quiet, that sort of, you know, makes her a little bit more vocal, because, you know, she's heard, so she wants to, you know, make some noise and things. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into it, but I think, you know your own dog, and a lot of dogs are quite content to just be with you, and, you know, most dogs, as long as they're, you know, familiar with going to different places. And I mean, taking dogs to restaurants or you know, any sort of event or anything, it's also a good space to train in as well, because you can actually turn it into a training experience where, you know, you actually train them to behave in those sort of environments when you're out in public. Oh, yeah. As well, so, you know, you can, you know, even if a dog isn't used to something, you can adjust them to it, you know. Well, I think so anyway, you know, as long as they're comfortable. You know, I think there's always going to be some dogs that aren't going to be happy to travel, or they'll have too much energy, or I think in those cases, it may be just the case of finding the right places to go, because, you know, they might not be happy in one place, but there might be somewhere else that you can take them. So again, doing that sort of research about where you can take dogs and where your dog's going to be most comfortable. At the end of the day, you know, if your dog's comfortable, then you're going to be happy being somewhere as well. You know, if Elsa's ever agitated, it makes us not want to feel like staying there for very long, or, you know, as well, if we don't feel like, you know, she's that welcome somewhere, then again, we tend to move on to somewhere else. We kind of found out quite early that there is a difference between, you know, dogs being allowed places and places actually being dog friendly and welcoming dogs. You know, so that was a bit of a learning curve as well. So, you know, it's you've also kind of got to never assume that your dog is going to be loved where they are, because there will be people around you who don't like dogs. You know, not everybody does. So, yeah, I think it's finding the right places to go and where you feel comfortable and where your dog's comfortable, definitely.
Yeah, I love how you said that. I mean, of course, there's a very small population, I think, of dogs that they just aren't comfortable anywhere but their house. That's their happy place. And, you know, but that's, I think, a very, very small percentage. And I love how you put it, that it's more about finding the right place for your dog. Some dogs might be happier in dog parks and hiking trails, while others might be pretty content in a restaurant or, you know, other busy place like that. So I love how you put that. I think it's very true. If you were going to talk to somebody, if they asked your advice about taking their dog somewhere, are there any like must-have supplies or good tips that you've picked up along the way to share with people?
Yeah. One of the things that we tend to take with us are some, you know, wet wipe kind of things, just in case of any accidents, because, you know, sometimes dogs don't really treat public spaces, even if they're indoors. Dogs can't always differentiate between something that's outside of your house when it's indoors and outdoors. You know, that they might go into somewhere and think, oh, this is a nice indoor mat, I'll just, you know, go to the toilet here. So, you know, there's been a few times where we've had wet wipes and we've just had to, you know, bite the bullet and get down, you know, on our hands and knees and sort of wipe things off. And, you know, but I think, again, if places are dog friendly and if they really do, you know, like their dog customers, or, you know, they are quite understanding generally that accidents happen sometimes. So, you know, that's one thing that we do tend to take with us. It doesn't happen very often at all, but
no, that's a great tip. It's always better to be prepared in those kinds of situations.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, when we travel with Elsa, we tend to, you know, we always make sure to bring water with us. A lot of people don't seem to take any water for their dogs. And, you know, we'll get Elsa's water bottle out and suddenly 10 dogs will all run up to us like, thirsty. You know, so we always have a water bottle. You know, if it's a hot summer day, we tend to take a cooling coat with us, you know, or a raincoat. It does obviously rain a lot in Britain.
Sure, yeah.
It's definitely essential. Just, you know, normal things like that. I do tend to take a brush with me as well, just because, you know, I like to keep her looking, you know, neat and tidy.
Yeah, everybody's going to see her and love on her. So, yeah, absolutely. You want to keep her looking good.
Yeah, so just things like that, things that will keep your dog sort of happy and comfortable. And, you know, if we're out for a long day, we'll take some lunch out with us for as well. Just things like that, really.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned too that I really thought was interesting was that you'll bring a chew or something for her to do if you know it's going to be somewhere where, like a restaurant, where you guys are going to be entertained, but she might just be kind of hanging out. So I think that's a good tip for dogs that might get a little bored, I guess would be a good word for it, while you're eating. So awesome. And finally, how could we find dog friendly places? Obviously, your blog does a great job of sharing the dog friendly places that you go. But for people here in the United States or in any other country in the world, how would you recommend going about finding those places?
Okay, so that's a really good question, because I mean there's so much information out there, but it's generally all scattered about all over the place. So whenever we go anywhere, we start by doing, you know, just quick Google searches to see if we can see anything on there. I mean, there are lots of books available out there. I tend to find books are a little bit outdated sometimes. I mean, we started out with a book you know, dog-friendly pubs and B&Bs, but when you actually get places, you realise, you know, it's not quite up to date. And so that can be a little bit frustrating. But I found that actually social media is a great place to find dog-friendly places, because if you go and look on, you know, Facebook and you Google, you know, dog-friendly and then the location that you're looking for, they'll often come up with a lot of results. Instagram's great as well for hashtags and locations. You know, you can see a lot of dogs out enjoying places, and you can see where they've been to and see where looks nice. You know, we get a lot of inspiration from, you know, just social media in general. Magazines are a great source of information too, but one of the biggest kind of sources that we use is, if we go somewhere, we'll try and talk to the local pet shop owners, or you know, you could even contact the local groomers. You know, if you gave them a call, people who own businesses in the area will tend to know where, you know, where is going to be dog friendly, you know, just by word of mouth. So that's another one. And obviously, you know, if you're out and about walking, you can ask other dog walkers. Maybe the locals will know where you can take your dogs. We stayed at a few Airbnbs as well, where the hosts have kind of said, oh, this place in town is dog friendly. And, you know, so I think word of mouth is quite a good one, because, you know, people have actually been there and, you know, they can actually recommend it themselves. Obviously other blogs as well. We look at loads of other blogs for inspiration too. So yeah, there's loads of information, but you know, it is a little bit scattered around. And I think one of the key things to planning, you know, a trip with your dog is doing that little bit of research beforehand. So when you get somewhere, you kind of know roughly where to aim for. You know, you're not sort of sat there thinking, you know, where do I go now? And or if you get somewhere and it's not, you know, ideal for your dog, you know, kind of a rough idea of where else you can go that might be a little bit better. So yeah, you know, that's what I would recommend, definitely.
Yeah, researching ahead of time definitely sounds like it's the way to go. And like you said, it's kind of nice to have a backup plan if it doesn't end up being what you thought it was, and you have a backup. That would be really great. Kelly, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've shared some great tips and tricks, and hopefully some of our listeners will check out your blog, and maybe they will write to you, or maybe they'll even start their own blog about traveling with their pet. As I mentioned, it is becoming more popular over here in the United States, so it would be great to see some of our listeners become inspired by you and start telling people about the places that they're going with their pet. Of course, if you want to ask any questions of me or of Kelly, be sure to get on our website, theoryofpets.com. I'll be sure to pass those on to her or answer them for you if I can do that. And if you have any tips about traveling with your pets, if you had experiences that have really taught you things about traveling that you'd like to pass on to other pet owners, feel free to leave that information on there as well, and I will share that in an upcoming podcast. While you're on there, if you could take just a quick second to review the podcast, when I reach out to people like Kelly, it helps me to show them that you guys are out there listening and you want to hear more. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for tuning in. I will be back with another hot topic very soon.